Turn in the Word of God this morning to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. The whole of Psalm 121 serves as the text of our sermon this morning. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good for us on the first day of a new year, the year of our Lord 2023, to assemble together to receive guidance and encouragement from the Word of God. What we're reminded of with the passing of one year and the beginning of another year is that we are pilgrims and strangers. In the end, we do not belong to this world, and it's not our abiding home. Our home is in glory with our God, and our life then is one of passing through, traveling on to our everlasting rest. But along that way, there are many dangers, many uncertainties. We know what the ultimate destination will be. It's the place that Christ has prepared for us in glory. But the pathway that leads there is often dark and uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what this year will mean for us. There are uncertainties in our own lives. Personally, there are uncertainties for our families, uncertainties for the church, uncertainties that pertain to our physical health or to finances or to spiritual things. And with all of the uncertainties of the way before us, it's very easy for us to be afraid, to be worried. It's important for us to be reminded then of the confidence we have going forward. There is so much that is uncertain, but this is certain. We have the guidance, the protection, the help of Jehovah God. We don't know what the future may bring and what the future holds, but we know who holds us and who holds the future. And how fitting then that this morning we turn to the Word of God for comfort, for encouragement, for guidance, and for the reminder of the continuing care of God for us. And that's what's set forth this morning in the Word of God in Psalm 121. Psalm 121, as the heading at the top of the psalm indicates, is a song of degrees. It belongs to that class of Psalms all found here toward the end of the book of Psalms that have that title. As you're probably aware, those songs of degrees were songs that the people of Israel would sing as they were headed up to Jerusalem to keep the feast days, traveling from their farms from afar to go up to the house of God to worship. And though that imagery is found really in all of the songs of degrees, it's true especially of this one. Psalm 121 is well known as the traveler's psalm because more than any other, that imagery of the pilgrim and the traveler pervades throughout. What the Word of God teaches us here is the certain comprehensive care of Jehovah God for us as we travel on our way in 2023 and with whatever time the Lord may give us in this life, we have confidence that He stands over us as our guardian and our guide. And we go forward then into the future, trusting in Him who keeps us in all of our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's consider this Word of God this morning under the theme, the preserver of the pilgrim. First, let's take note of the keeping. Secondly, the keeper. And then thirdly, the confidence. Throughout Psalm 121, there's reference made to God's help, God's preserving, God's keeping of His people Israel. And what's implied in that is the need that we have to be helped, to be preserved, to be kept. To understand that need that we have, we ought to take a moment to consider the imagery that's set forth here in the psalm, that imagery, as we noted, of the pilgrim or the traveler. Three times a year, on the three major Old Testament feast days, Jewish men were required to make the trip to Jerusalem to worship and to offer sacrifices in the temple. Often they'd bring their families with them, although the requirement was especially for the heads of the households to appear. And so they'd leave behind sometimes their family, always their farms and their homes, their livelihood. They make the journey to Jerusalem in order to worship. That journey was often difficult. It wasn't the case that very many lived right around Jerusalem. They were scattered abroad through all the different tribes, so that for many of them, the trip to Jerusalem was lengthy, was inconvenient. The way that they had to walk, it was not on nice paved roads, but was most often on narrow, winding, uneven paths. That's indicated in the psalm in verse 3 when it speaks of God not suffering thy foot to be moved. And the idea there is a foot that is tripped up, that stumbles on account of the unevenness of the pathway, there's the likelihood of stumbling and falling. In addition, one was exposed to all of the elements. There's the scorching heat of the sun during the day and the bitter cold of the nighttime. That's conveyed in verse 6, which says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." And then as one traveled, there was the threat of all kinds of evil. Verse 7 says God will preserve us from all evil. For the traveler, there was the threat of wild beasts. There was the threat of robbers or enemies from heathen nations that would lay in wait to attack them as they traveled. The way before them was difficult. They needed the help, the guardianship, the protection of God for them. And that illustrates the need of God's people in every age for the guardian care of our God. Our life is that of pilgrims and strangers. In a different psalm, Psalm 39, verse 12, David confesses that about God's people. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. That's the reality for the Christian in this world. We're strangers. This world is not our enduring home. Our home is in heavenly glory, in the mansions that Christ is preparing for us there. And our life then is one of constantly passing through and traveling on through some weary, distant land as we await the time when we're finally home. And as God leads us homeward, the pathway is filled with dangers. There's the real danger for us of stumbling and falling in the pathway that God leads on account of our sins and our sinful natures. We're constantly stumbling into sin as we press on in the pilgrim way. As we walk that way, there's the threat of the devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He has all of his subtleties, all of his wiles and his tricks to try and lure us into the path of sin. As we walk that way, there's danger from the wicked world amongst whom we live. As they pressure us to go off of the straight and the narrow path and to walk with them on the broad and the easy way of self-indulgence. The way in which we're to go is a treacherous way. Added to that is the fact that this way in which God leads us is often filled with trials and hardships, with heavy burdens to bear. Know that God is bringing us to our ultimate resting place. We also know that His will for us in this life is not that the way be always easy. The way is often very difficult and hard. There's physical sickness to bear. There's the death and the loss of loved ones. There's hardship. There's hurt. There's disappointment and discouragement. There's heartache along the way. Makes the way very difficult. So difficult at times for the child of God that he or she may be tempted to throw up his hands and to say, the way is too hard. It's too long. It's too arduous. The burden's too heavy to bear. I can't keep doing this. I can't keep going on. I've had enough. There's the uncertainty of the way before us. We know what the destination is, but we don't know what the next step will bring. The pathway before us is dark and uncertain, and our response is often to be fearful, to be worried about what's going to come next. And all of this indicates we need the care of God. We're so weak, we're so helpless, we're so exposed. We need God as our guardian, our protector. We need Him as our guide. We need Him to provide for us day by day, year by year, step by step. That's our need for the year 2023. There's a pilgrim path that lies before each one of us. There are hardships and struggles. There's battles against sin that we face. We need God. We need His care. We need Him to stand over us, to guard us, and to protect us. We need that personally. We need that as a church. The blessed truth of the gospel is that we have that protection and that care of our Heavenly Father for us. Notice from Psalm 121, really in all of the different verses here, how that's expressed and the imagery that's used there to convey God's faithful care of us. Verses 1 and 2, there's mention made there of God's help for us. To help another means to give assistance, aid, to supply some need. It means to stand over one, surround them, protect them, and to provide for them. Verse 3, it says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The imagery is that God keeps us on our pathway so that we don't stumble and fall to ultimate destruction. He keeps our feet on the pathway. Throughout the psalm, there's reference made to God's keeping and His preserving of us, which in the original are the same word, which refers to a guardian, to a watchman, to a protector. God stands watch over His people. He's the guardian of His people so that He constantly is keeping them, protecting them, preserving them. Verse 5 says that the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Living in a more tropical climate with scorching heat during the daytime, shade was essential. So the fact that the psalm says God is the shade on our right hand indicates that He's protecting us from the scorching heat of trials or the hardships that we experience. God is our shade. God is protecting us. Verse 6 says, The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. There's the scorching heat of the daytime and then the bitter cold of the nighttime. And in all of those circumstances, day or night, heat or cold, God is caring for His people. Verse 7, The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And then it says, He shall preserve thy soul. Promise is not that we never experience hardship in the body, but that He keeps our soul ultimately. And then verse 8 speaks comprehensively, The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. And the idea very likely is our going out in the morning as we go about our life and our work, and our coming in again at the end of the day. Meaning all day long God is keeping us. Then from this time forth and even forevermore, not only today as I woke up and I went out and tonight as I come back into my home, but every day, year after year after year, forevermore, He preserves and He keeps His people. What precious comfort for weary pilgrims. What precious gospel comfort to know the unending care of our God for us. As the psalm indicates, that care is comprehensive. There's nothing ultimately that we stand in need of that we're lacking, and God does not supply. He supplies to us all of our needs. As the psalm indicates, that care of us is timeless. The eternal, timeless God cares for us every day throughout our life, from the very beginning when we come into this world until the very end when we leave this world, and then on and on into everlasting life. He's the keeper of His people. His eye is always open and upon us, His ear always open to our cries, His hand upon us, leading and guiding us so that He never fails us. He preserves us in this battle against sin, so that though at times we do stumble and we fall into sin, perhaps even grievously into great sins, He preserves His people. He sets our feet again upon the pathway, and He leads us in the way everlasting. He preserves us from the attacks of our enemies. They're all under His sovereign control. They don't stand outside of that, so that God sovereignly ordains even the workings of our enemies, so that He says, this far and no further. He keeps us in our hardships and our trials. Doesn't mean that we're exempt from them, but he sends them upon us in his love, and he gives us the grace sufficient each day to bear them. What the Word of God is describing here is what we refer to in theology as the preservation of the saints. He preserves his own in faith. He preserves them in godliness. Throughout this life, he's not only begun that good work of salvation in us, but he preserves us in it so that we can never lose our salvation and never fall away from his grace and his favor. But he preserves us to the end when he brings us to our everlasting home. Does not mean that the way will be easy. Doesn't mean that all the hardships are gone. It doesn't mean that there won't be uncertainties that we face. But it does mean that nothing can separate us from his love, not height or depth, not life or death or any other creature. Doesn't mean that we're free of sorrow and heartache, but it does mean that he averts all evil or turns it to our profit. It does mean that all things are subservient to us and to our salvation so that not even a hair can fall from our head unless he wills it. It does mean that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's our hope and comfort and confidence. As we begin a new year, we often do, and rightly so, look back on the year that's passed. As we reflect upon the year 2022, what we see is God's faithful care of us. Through many joys that God has given and many sorrows, different circumstances for different of God's people in the year that's passed. But as we all reflect back upon that year, this is what's written over that year. The Lord has kept us, he's helped us, he's preserved us. And that confidence for years past is our confidence for years to come. And as we look ahead to the year of our Lord 2023, that's our comfort and our confidence. Whatever joys the Lord may give us in this year, whatever sorrows he may lay upon us, he will not fail us, but will help us, preserve us, and keep us in all of our ways. We have that confidence because of who our keeper and guardian is. Psalm not only describes the keeping and the preservation of us, but it describes and holds before us the keeper, Jehovah God. That's important for us to know and consider. When we think only about our life and our circumstances and the thought of being kept and preserved, it's very easy for us to doubt, have worries about the future. The way before is so difficult. The uncertainties fill me with such worry. Am I confident that I'll be kept? Is it sure that I'll be preserved in all of my going out and coming in forevermore? And what dispels those doubts and drives away those fears is the knowledge of who it is that keeps us. Knowing who he is, we can be absolutely certain of the comfort of the gospel to us here. What the psalm describes with respect to God are two main things, his power and his love. First of all, the psalm describes for us the almighty sovereign power of our God. It does that in a few different ways. First of all, in verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. There's a reference to the hills or the mountains because Jerusalem was built on a series of hills or mountains. And when the people were traveling from their farms up to the temple, they would see these hills and these mountains and the protection they provided for the city and the defense that they were. And they'd be reminded how sturdy, how sure, how strong they were. As sturdy and as strong and as enduring as those mountains were, even more strong, more secure, is Jehovah God. Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. The power and might of God and his care of his people is also expressed here in verse 2, which says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Reference is made to God's sovereign work of creation. And when we consider what God did in creating the world, we stand back in awe and wonder at his mighty power. If God has the power to create the world, to speak all things into existence, to say, let there be light, and there's light. Well, then certainly he's powerful and strong to provide for me and to protect me. That's not something that's too difficult for him. Similar idea is found in another comforting passage of God's Word, Isaiah 40. Verse 31 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that's grounded earlier in God's work of creation. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. And then the power and might of God is displayed in the psalm. What we read in the last part of verse 3 and all of verse 4, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. One of the evidences of our weakness and frailty is our need for sleep. On average, we're told that we need about 7 to 8 hours of good sleep a night. Without that, we can't function as we ought to. Which means that in the end, we'll spend about a third of our life laying unconscious in bed. A third of our life. We're weak. We need sleep. We need to be refreshed and restored because we are not almighty. Jehovah God never slumbers and never sleeps. He's never fatigued. He's never worn out. He's never tired. He never needs a rest. His eye is always open. His eye is always upon us. He cares for us as the powerful, mighty, unsleeping God. It's an important part of our comfort, to know the mighty power of God. It's important for us to know because we are weak. That's impressed upon us when we consider our pilgrim way. We're weak in the face of sin and the devil and his hosts in this wicked world. We know how easy it is for us to fall into sin. We know our own weakness when we consider the burdens and the trials that God lays upon us and how difficult that is for us to bear. We need one of almighty, unending strength to care for us. We need to know that we're in the hands of one who directs all things for our good. Hands that are strong, hands that are secure, that will never tire and never fail. We have that confidence in our Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who never slumbers or sleeps. First of all, the psalm reminds us of who Jehovah is as a God of power and might. And then secondly, the psalm teaches us that God is a God of love for us in Christ. The way in which that's conveyed here in the psalm, the fact that the psalm refers to him not by his name God, but throughout by his name Jehovah or Lord. And as you know, that name means I am that I am. It refers to the fact that he is immutable, he's unchanging. We live in the midst of a world that's constantly changing, and the passing of one year into another year reminds us of those changes, how quickly 2022 flew by. How many changes took place in our lives over the last year? We can expect the same in the year that is to come. This life is one continuous blur from beginning to end, it seems like. We change. Life changes. But God does not change. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And he's unchanging in his love and his mercy towards us. He's unchanging in himself. He's unchanging in his faithful covenant love for us. And it's for that reason that we refer to this name, Jehovah, as his covenant name. Because it reminds us that he is the I am that I am towards us in his covenant with us. He's established that covenant with us, and he will not break it. He will not go back on his promises to us. He's a faithful God of love for us. And that name Jehovah is especially revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is Jehovah Salvation. In the Lord Jesus Christ, especially that we see displayed the faithful covenant love of God for us in his faithfulness and love for us. He gave his only begotten Son to come into this world to shoulder the weight of the guilt of our sins, to suffer his life long, to endure the agonies of the cross. And he rose again and ascended into heaven, and he rules over all things now from heaven in his love for us. We know and are assured of God's faithfulness and his love for us, as that's displayed in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How precious and comforting that knowledge is for us. It's important to know that our God is strong and mighty. But we may never divorce that power and might on our behalf from his love for us. If all we knew and were confident of with respect to God was that he was strong and mighty, we'd cower in terror before him. Just as in earthly life, if all we know about another person is that they're strong and they're mighty, that they have the power to help us in our need, but we don't have any confidence of their love for us, we'd cower in terror before them. For all we know, that strong and mighty hand will be turned against us to harm us. Not only is he a God of love, he's a God of power, and not only is he a God of power and might, he's a God of love. He's not only able to provide for us and to protect us, but he's willing, being a faithful father who loves us, who's faithful towards us always. That's the comfort, that's the hope, that's the confidence we have as we face a new year. It's not just we will be kept, but it's that we will be kept in the hands of Jehovah God. He who is the mighty creator of the heavens and the earth, who never slumbers or sleeps, who is our faithful Father, will keep us in all of our going out and our coming in. And that does mean for us confidence as we face the future. Not proud self-confidence, but real confidence grounded in God. The psalmist indicates that in verses 1 and 2. We read, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And then the King James Version translates that next phrase as a statement, from whence cometh my help, almost as if our help is coming from the hills. But that's not the sense in the original. That second phrase is really in the form of a question. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? And then the answer is given in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And the psalmist is saying this not because there's doubt in his mind. I'm looking to the hills. Where's my help going to come from? But it's a rhetorical question. I'm lifting up my eyes. Where's my help going to come from? It certainly comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. It's a declaration of confidence. It's a confession of faith that's made here. And that's the confession of the believer, as we struggle on in our earthly pilgrimage. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from Jehovah God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. For the sake of Jesus Christ, I have that absolute confidence. He will keep me, stand over me, guard me, and protect me. Lead and guide me in all of my ways. And going forward with that confidence in Him, we trust in Him and depend upon Him alone. And that's what's conveyed in that first phrase in verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Picture this traveler who's dusty and tired, having left his farm days ago, and now he's traveling up the hills to the temple, and his eyes are lifted up. But his eyes are lifted up not because his dependence is upon those hills, but those hills lift up his eyes to Jehovah God. And he acknowledges here, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, to Jehovah God, because that's where I trust. That's the one in whom I depend. So also for us, must we go forward in trust and dependence upon God with our eyes lifted up? Our eyes are not to be down in despair, hopelessness. And our eyes are not to be around, looking at everything around us in hope that something of this life will provide for us in what we need. And our eyes are not turned inward upon ourselves in trust, in confidence, in our own strength, in our own abilities. There's no one in a more precarious position than the person who trusts in himself. Not down, not around, not inward, but up. Look up. Look up in faith, in trust, in daily dependence. Look up to Jehovah God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Look up to Him who never slumbers or sleeps. Look up and don't look anywhere else. Look up and keep looking up. Jehovah God alone is the confidence of protection and care and the supply of all of our needs. We go forward into 2023. Whether that's skipping with the joys that God has brought into our lives or plodding along step after step because the way is so hard, look up in trust and dependence and faith to Jehovah God. Be assured that He will keep you. And you're going out and you're coming in from this time forward, even forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thy word is a comfort, a help, an encouragement. We're thankful for the great hope and comfort of the gospel. Thankful to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blotting out of our sins and strength to fight against them. We're thankful to know as well in His suffering and death, the assurance of Thy love for us, Thy keeping of us, and Thy supply of our needs, even when the way is very difficult. Strengthen our faith. We are often of little faith. Strengthen it so that daily we walk by faith and not by sight, looking up in trust and dependence upon Thee, our God. Preserve us, provide for us all that we need individually, in our homes and families, and as a church. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.